requires encourage us to know that it is you. And they seem rather confident, and we join them in that confidence that it is indeed you that makes all things new. And Lord, we thank you for newness. Quite honestly, Lord, some things in our lives have gotten old, worn out. We formed habits, lost our way. But God, what a joy it is to know that you make all things new. You make relationships new. You make going to that same old job new. Same old choir rehearsal new. Coming to church new. Dealing with cancer, heartbreak. Some might think it strange that we would even consider these things our joy, but Lord, because you keep us, we'd rather be alive with it than to be pronounced dead from it. So you make it new. And what we like about new, Lord, is that you give us the strength to live with new. You make our joy complete because it's new. And Lord, we have to admit that we get a different attitude when it's new. So God, we celebrate, not only in song, but Lord, in our spirit, that you make all things new. And then Lord, we're encouraged because they told us that we're going to follow you forward. The old church simply put it this way, that you walk with me. You talk with me. You lead and guide me. And so God, again, our declaration, our determination, our devotion, our decision is to follow you forward. That way, Lord, we can leave some old things and meet up with some new things. And give you all the praise and the glory. And Lord, even while we're stuck, we're going to sing our praises. Even when we're in the midst of it, we're going to sing our praises. Because we recognize that old things will pass away. And all things will become new. Hallelujah. And bless your name. So God, again, we're ready for the preaching moment. Lord, again, open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts fertile ground to hear what you're saying to the church. Shake us and stir us that we'll be ready, Lord, to run when you say run, fight when you say fight. And the enemy won't catch us unaware. We'll be girded up, fit for duty. Oh, God, again, have thy way with us. It is your will that must be done, not ours. And Lord, we pray again that you forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Redeemer of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, bless God by putting your hands together. For all the things that the Lord has done. For all the things you want the Lord to do. Come on, give him praise in advance. Come on, if you can't bless him for what you want, how can we bless him for what you get? Come on and give God some glory. Give him a hallelujah. Give him a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Again, God bless each and every one of you. I'm very thankful to God that you are here with us. And very thankful to God that see faces of all of you, which means I am still alive myself. Amen. If you're not happy to see me, I'm happy to see you. Amen. Amen. Those of us who don't have no joy, I feel sorry for you. Those of us who got a little bit of joy, I'm praying for you. Amen. And those of us who got a whole lot of joy, I'm joining with you. Amen. In the book of Genesis, which if you can't find Genesis, you will be required to stay after. All you got to do is open the cover and pass the table of contents, and there you are. Genesis chapter 15, please. As we're standing, God bless you. You look so good standing. It means you got strength. Amen. It means you have strength. If you have a problem standing, we pray that the Lord would keep you instead. If you're just trying to be a problem and won't stand, I pray you get a cramp in your right leg. No, I'm just kidding. And again, maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. Genesis chapter 15. I have a New Living Translation Bible, and I pray you'll come along. I just want to lift up just a verse, really, because I believe it sets the tone for where I want to preach for a little while. And, verse 6 in the New Living Translation simply says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith." God bless you. You may be seated. The text is simple. Doesn't require any major muscles of our brain to be engaged, or we won't burn up an inordinate amount of brain cells. It just simply says that Abram believed the Lord. Those of us who have ushers, I'm sorry, y'all. When I forget, y'all don't forget. Y'all go ahead, and that's so obedient of you all. Thank you. That is so nice. If everybody was like the ushers, nah, that's all right. It is, it's probably just a common thing for us to exercise, even to engage, or have a certain expectancy as it relates to our belief system. When we were younger, and you might want to put your finger in the children's ears for a minute, but when we were younger, there were certain things that we believed, we engaged upon, we expected things, and we experienced things because we believed. And remember now, they told us if we didn't believe, we'd end up with a lump of coal, or we wouldn't get that quarter under our pillow, and, you know. And sometimes I think our parents wanted us not to believe because it'll save them some money. And I think that a lot of us in the Christian faith have truly underestimated and devalued the true worth of what you believe. I am probably not the person you want to talk to if you don't have good faith. I'm not mean. I'm not that kind of guy. They say I am, but I'm not. I just pretend to be. But see, you got to have something solid that you believe in, or you're going to be easily swayed by foolishness. I mean, come on now. I mean, those of us who are past the age of the level of expectancy that goes with Christmas and Easter bunnies and that matter of thing, you know, and I know that if you were to say to one of your adult friends that he's checking his list and checking it twice, and you 30-something years old, we're going to really have a problem with your belief system. Somebody's going to look at you and go, have you bumped your head? You can't tell me you still, and you're going to sit there and go, yes, he is. So somewhere along the line of ecclesiastical enrichment, that sounded really good, didn't it? You've got to understand that I can't make you believe. It is my responsibility to God, and one I enjoy rather immensely, to promote this gospel, that you would respond by saying amen. Pastor helped us today, And I'm encouraged to know that there is a God who will respond to my beliefs. It's right here in the text. It says, and Abram believed God, and God responded by counting him, accrediting to him righteousness. That's a good exchange. Not the name. That's a good exchange, because Some of us are so twisted with what we believe that we have been convinced by a secular world that the only way God can validate us is by giving us stuff. I don't need no more stuff. I'm happy. I mean, I eat all right. Matter of fact, Meryl, I eat too much. I'm on a diet. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to lose 40 pounds because I just feel like, and she said, go for it. I don't think that I need any other material thing. I got more shoes than I can probably wear. I got more, I mean, you do too. Don't look at me like you hating on me. You got too many shoes. If you got more than one pair, you got too many pair of shoes. You can't wear but one, and I know you think, well, I have to change up. No, you don't. You got more than five or six suits and ties, and, you know, I counted a few weeks ago. I have 338 ties. That's crazy, ain't it? I'm giving some, anybody want some ties, come by and see me. Cedric, put your hand down. All you ain't stole, I ain't missing. Somewhere along the line, we thought of God only as a bellhop that will reward us because we go to church and we give a little bit of our money and we do stuff. Come on. But Abram's not like that, because what Abram demonstrates for us is that God is paying attention to your character. Thought I'd preach a little bit. God has been watching Abram since Abram came to be Abram. And the Bible says, because a few things Abram did, God said, yes, sir. Some of you would love to hear God say, yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. Abram has now put what he believes into play. You read the chapter, you read 13, really, if you start reading around the 13th, 14th, 15th chapter, and then into the 16th chapter, and I can't read all that because you all would get mad. But if you read all of those things, you're going to kind of see how what he believed in ignorance is justified, not because of his intelligence of God, but his interest in God. I'm preaching good, boy. You don't listen. You don't have to be able to understand all of it. But for the sake of what you may become, just go for it. Matter of fact, you all look at your neighbor and say, I'm going for it. I can't explain water into wine. I can't explain leprosy being healed. I can't explain pigs jumping off a mountain. I can't explain Jairus' daughter waking up. I can't explain why Peter, James, and John, and Philip, and Matthew made their choices, but I'm interested in it. Because I'm interested in it. I'm interested in the God of it. See, you don't want to get lost in the earthly things. Because the earthly things are going to pass away. You ought to get involved in what God is doing. So Abram, he believed it. He said, you know, okay. How many of you have ever had that okay moment with God when you really, really didn't quite know, but you said, okay. Only three of y'all. Can I get a witness? I mean, so he says, you are now counted to righteousness. And let me help a few of you. I won't trouble you much longer, but let me help a few of you understand that if you can get God to count anything to your credit, righteousness is a good one. Yeah, if you can get God to say righteous, you done good. Yes, sir. Abram is one of those characters whom otherwise would have probably been disinteresting to us. Why? Because he comes from a jacked up family. You know how we quick remind peoples about their peoples. Your mama wasn't no good. Your daddy wasn't no good. Your daddy left your mama. Your granddaddy left your grandmama. Your aunt Sadie. Yeah, I mean, you know, don't look at nobody alone. And I hope ain't none of y'all got an aunt named Sadie. Abraham comes from a place that is really disinteresting. It is not a holy city. It's not a city where there's a lot of righteousness. Ain't no lot of churches where he come from. Ain't no great pulpit. There are no great ecclesiastical works to represent that community. Abram is a guy that you probably would have walked by and said, man, dude hurting. But God looked at him and spoke to him. You do know God wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
All of you. All of you have a call waiting from God. If you haven't answered that call, if I were you, I would delay no further in having a little talk with Jesus. No, all y'all can't preach. And I say again, no. All y'all ain't going to be deacons. Y'all sure ain't going to be trustees. You're not going to all get in the choir. You're not going to all, you know, I mean, you just got to at least take the call. Isaiah, we, those of us who've been around church, we know Isaiah. We all like that little verse, that little line. And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Some of us been getting a call from God, and we've been saying, not taking this. I'm kind of busy. Tell him to call me back. Who is it? It's God. Tell him to call me back. I'm frying chicken. You got to understand that God is interested in your life, but he's interested in what you believe and who you believe. Whose report shall we believe? Isn't that word interesting? The word believe changes stuff. How many of you have ever been in an argument with somebody and said, I don't believe you? And they said, but I'm telling you, I don't believe you. I'm telling you, I can prove it. And they said, well, prove it. And that's how some of us are with God. The reason why some of us are struggling in our faith and with our righteousness is because you're demanding God prove it. And he don't have to, because he already has. The earth the sky, the wind, the rain is proof. Okay, so you need a rainbow. We still get rainbow. If you read the Bible, you will read the text. The text says, and I shall give a sign to my people as to the covenant I am reestablishing, that I will always love on them big time. Ain't got nothing to do with no pot of gold. Some of y'all ain't good with 50 cent. Why would God give you gold? You make a mess out of 50 cent. I ain't talking about 50 cent. I say 50. God said, listen, I'm counting him the righteous. So when you look at Abram, you ought to ask, do I see me? When I was in the military, Brother Thomas, you remember, Campbell, you'll remember, my military people remember, we had the thing called the general orders. I learned those quickly. When you go in the military, you learn those real quick. It's three, you know, we break it down to three, but in essence, actually, there are 11. 11. But we learned three. And the first one says, I will guard everything within the limits of my post, quit my post only when properly relieved. It's a discipline to that. The second one says, to the effect, and I wrote it down so I don't mess it up, I will obey my special orders and perform all of my duties in a military manner. The third one says, I will report violations of my special orders, emergencies, and anything not covered in my instructions or special orders to the commander of the relief. That's God. That's God. Anything that is not otherwise covered, or anything that happens, or anything strange, I'm going to tell God. You don't tell him all about my trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. You know, that is a discipline that will help shape your belief system. Malachi reminds us, Malachi says it this way in his book. He said, listen, don't break your faith. Of all the things that can break, Malachi says, don't break your faith. And many of us need to recognize that whenever we are up against it, we need it. Faith. It's in the word. F-A-I-T. It. It's in there. You know, we are a people of beliefs. Some of you will fight about what you believe. Some of you will break relationships about what you believe. Some of you are alone and frustrated because you weren't going to change. I just don't believe that. And people left you. You left people. You got mad at the church about beliefs. You got out the choir about it because I don't believe we ought to do it that way. I don't believe it go that way. All this belief. And then when you look up toward heaven, the greatest thing that you must affirm to God is, I believe you. Not your opinion. You know, God is really not interested in my opinions. So he says, well, don't break your faith and hold fast to it. So here is where we turn the corner, because there are about three little stages that you can go through and you can make this happen. You make it happen. You got to want to make it happen. You know, you sit here. I see your faces. Some of y'all are kind of lost. You got that look on your face. I understand. I do. Because we have been so confused by the commercialism of religion that we miss the basics that we can build the rest of our life on. Can I show you something? Yes, it doesn't matter how many plays you run, a pick and roll or a screen or none of that, you still need a basketball. Come on. Doesn't matter how many X's and O's you put on the paper, you still need the football. Uh-huh. It's just inherent that if we're going to really play this game, there are some things that just don't change. If you go to the bowling alley, you can't take no basketball with holes. If you put holes in it, that's the end of that anyway. But it's certain things that are inherent to proper functioning of this activity. Here it is. if you are going to be a Christian, you must need use faith. I put a note here. I put it right here. They ain't gonna get that. You don't need another suit.
No.
We don't need a bigger choir. We don't need a bigger church.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna have none of that without faith.
Yeah.
We're struggling.
So true.
Not cause, well, I don't know, maybe because some of y'all don't like the pastor. I don't know. Maybe you don't like the choir. Maybe, I don't know, maybe in the wrong neighborhood. You, whatever. I'm convinced it boils down to faith. And not whether or not you believe in the vision or the mission or the ministry of the church. It's do you believe God?
Come on.
Oh, come on now. Some of y'all really getting that faraway look in your eyes. Because the reality is, God is looking at you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
God knows what you believe. Some of us been sick. Ain't gonna get no better. I don't care how many pills you take. I don't care how many doctors you go to, because you don't believe God is a healer. You mad because you got sick in the first place. Just believe God. Some of us broke. Some of us can't find no job. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But do you realize that the just live by faith?
Yes.
Justification and righteousness are first cousins. Because God counted to Abram. Listen now, watch this. Now I'm about to. Abram didn't ask God nothing. Abram didn't even know God like that. God looked at his character and knew his destiny and said, because not who he is, but because who I am. Oh God, y'all missed a shout right there. Let me help you get you a shout. Please understand, you are not still alive. You're not working where you work. You're not doing what you're doing because of who you are, but because of who he is. The only reason you are is just like Paul said, in him you live, move, and have your being. That kind of hurt right there. That again.
Well,
do it like this next time. He said, listen, Abram, come here. I'll give you something. And some of y'all, if God said, come here, I want to give you something, you say, no, I know what I want. You'd mess it up. Read the text. Abram was counted by God. Malachi said, don't break your faith. The disciples, can I hurry along here? I know you want me to. It's right at 12:30. The disciples, coach, got a little huddle. Here's the first thing to do. I told you three little stages. First thing is you need to engage in developmental faith. Y'all think I'm playing? That kind of hurt for real. I may have to file a claim. Okay, so much for that. The disciples, watch this one. The disciples come together, they're sitting around, and they say, watch this now, show us how to increase our faith. Did you see that, Brother Tom? They didn't say show us how to make money. They didn't say show us how to get ahead. They didn't say show us how to be more popular. They said show us. Can I give you something to talk to God about on your way home? Luke 17, verse 7. Just go to God and say, Lord, show me. And if you get your husband, your wife, or somebody to agree with you, you know, that ass touching and agreeing thing, then you can say us. But show us how to increase. You know why? Because you're going to need more faith. You know that old adage, little faith, you know, little, you know, you're going to nudge your neighbor and say, I know that's right. Because, listen, watch this, Mompo, you can help them. We all want more. We have lived our lives trying to obtain more. Some of you have gotten more education. Some of you have gotten more property, more cars, more. There's a song, Jess, you remember it. More. That's it. All y'all need to get in the choir. Watch this. They said, Lord, we are in a condition that requires consecration. And the kind we need must come from you. Notice now, they didn't say, hey, fellas, let's figure out a way to make. They said, you. Jesus said, we talk to you for a minute. They don't get sent up with the thing. They don't try to pretend. They don't try to hide it. Let me help some of y'all. You might as well come out, whoever you are. Because you and I both know it ain't working for you like you trying to act like it's working. Lord, I think I lost my mic. I know I did. I see, that's just not right. Give me yours.
Much better.
Yes, sir. Yes. They say, Lord, that is much better. How come heels always work in mine, don't? They said, Lord, we can't do this. You know what they're saying? If we're going to serve you, we need the stuff you got. Some of us been getting a call from God and we've been saying, not taking this. I'm kind of busy. Tell him to call me back. Yeah. Who is it? It's God. Tell him to call me back. I'm frying chicken. You got to understand that God is interested in your life. But he's interested in what you believe and who you believe. Whose report shall we believe? Isn't that word interesting? The word believe changes stuff. How many of you have ever been in an argument with somebody and said, I don't believe you? And they said, but I'm telling you, I don't believe you. I'm telling you, I can prove it. And they said, well, prove it. And that's how some of us are with God. The reason why some of us are struggling in our faith and with our righteousness is because you're demanding God prove it. And he don't have to because he already had. The earth, the sky, the wind, the rain is proof. Okay, so you need a rainbow. We still get rainbows. If you read the Bible, you will read the text. The text says, and I shall give a sign to my people as to the covenant I am reestablishing that I will always love on them big time. Ain't got nothing to do with no pot of gold. Some of y'all ain't good with 50 cents. Why would God give you gold? You make a mess out of 50 cents. I ain't talking about 50 cent, I say 50. God said, listen, I'm counting him the righteous. So when you look at Abram, you ought to ask, do I see me? When I was in the military, Brother Thomas, you remember, Deacon Campbell, you'll remember, my military people remember, we had the thing called the general orders. I learned those quickly. When you go in the military, you learn those real quick. It's three, you know, we break it down to three, but in essence, actually, there are 11. 11. But we learned three. And the first one says, I will guard everything within the limits of my post, quit my post only when properly relieved. Mm. It's a discipline to that. The second one says, to the effect, and I wrote it down so I don't mess it up, I will obey my special orders and perform all of my duties in a military manner. The third one says, I will report violations of my special orders, emergencies, and anything not covered in my instructions or special orders to the commander of the relief. That's God. That's God. Anything that is not otherwise covered or anything that happens or anything strange, I'm going to tell God. You don't tell him all about my trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. You know, that is a discipline that will help shape your belief system.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Malachi reminds us, Malachi says it this way in his book. He said, listen, don't break your faith. Of all the things that can break, Malachi said, don't break your faith. And many of us need to recognize that whenever we are up against it, we need it. Faith. It's in the word. F-A-I-T. It. It's in there. You know, we are a people of beliefs. Some of you will fight about what you believe. Some of you will break relationships about what you believe. Some of you are alone and frustrated because you wasn't going to change. I just don't believe that. And people left you. You left people. You got mad at the church about beliefs. You got out of the choir. Because I don't believe we ought to do it that way. I don't believe it go that way. All this belief. And then when you look up toward heaven, the greatest thing that you must affirm to God is, I believe you. Not your opinion. You know, God is really not interested in our opinions. So he says, well, don't break your faith and hold fast to it. So here is where we turn the corner, because there are about three little stages that you can go through and you can make this happen. You make it happen. You got to want to make it happen. You know, you sit here. I can see your faces. Some of y'all are kind of lost. You got that look on your face. I understand. I do. Because we have been so confused by the commercialism of religion that we miss the basics that we can build the rest of our life on. Can I show you something? It doesn't matter how many plays you run, a pick and roll or a screen or none of that, you still need a basketball. Doesn't matter how many X's and O's you put on the paper, you still need the football. It's just inherent that if we're going to really play this game, there are some things that just don't change. If you go to the bowling alley, you can't take no basketball with holes. If you put holes in it, that's the end of that anyway. But it's certain things that are inherent to proper functioning of this activity. Here it is. If you are going to be a Christian, you must need use faith.
I put
a note here. I put it right here. They ain't gonna get that. You don't need another suit.
No.
We don't need a bigger choir. We don't need a bigger church.
Six.
We ain't gonna have none of that without faith.
Yes.
We're struggling.
So true.
Not cause. Well, I don't know. Maybe because some of y'all don't like the pastor. I don't know. Maybe you don't like the choir. Maybe you, I don't know. Maybe in the wrong neighborhood. You, whatever. I'm convinced it boils down to faith. And not whether or not you believe in the vision or the mission or the ministry of the church. It's, do you believe God?
Come on.
Oh, come on now. Some of y'all are really getting that faraway look in your eyes. Because the reality is, God is looking at you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
God knows what you believe. Some of us been sick. Ain't gonna get no better. I don't care how many pills you take. I don't care how many doctors you go to, because you don't believe God is a healer. You mad because you got sick in the first place. Just believe God.
That's it.
Some of us broke. Some of us can't find no job. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But do you realize that the just live by faith?
Yeah.
Justification and righteousness are first cousins.
Come on.
Because God counted to Abram. Listen now, watch this, and I'm about done. Abram didn't ask God nothing. Abram didn't even know God like that. God looked at his character and knew his destiny and said, because not who he is, but because who I am, Oh God, y'all missed a shout right there. Let me help you get you a shout. Please understand, you are not still alive. You're not working where you work. You're not doing what you're doing because of who you are, because of who he is. The only reason you are is just like Paul said, in him you live, move, and have your being. That kind of hurt right there. I'm going to do that again. Do like this next time. He said, listen, Abram, come here. I'm about to give you something. And some of y'all, if God said, come here, I want to give you something, you say, no, I know what I want. You'd mess it up. Read the text. Abram was counted by God. Malachi said, don't break your faith. The disciples, can I hurry along here? I know you want me to. It's right at 12:30. The disciples, coach, got a little huddle. Here's the first thing to do. I'll tell you three little stages. First thing is you need to engage in developmental faith. Y'all think I'm playing? That kind of hurt for real. I may have to file a claim. Okay, so much for that. The disciples, watch this, Wanda. The disciples come together, sitting around, and they say, watch this now, show us how to increase our faith. Did you see that, Brother Tom? They didn't say show us how to make money. They didn't say show us how to get ahead. They didn't say show us how to be more popular. They said show us. Can I give you something to talk to God about on your way home? Luke 17, verse 7. Just go to God and say, Lord, show me. And if you get your husband, your wife, or somebody to agree with you, you know that ass touching and agreeing thing, then you can say us. But show us how to increase. You know why? Because you're going to need more faith. You know that old adage, little faith, you know, little, you know, you're gonna nudge your neighbor and say, I know that's right. Because listen, watch this, Mompo, you can help them. We all want more. We have lived our lives trying to obtain more. Some of you have gotten more education. Some of you have gotten more property, more cars, more. There's a song, Jess, you remember it. More. That's it. All y'all need to get in the choir. Watch this. They said, Lord, we are in a condition that requires consecration. And the kind we need must come from you.
Much better.
Yes, sir. Yes. They said, Lord, that is much better. How come heels always working mine down? They said, Lord, we can't do this. You know what they're saying? If we're going to serve you, we need the stuff you got. Let me help the church. We've got to stop trying to jury rig faith. We got to stop trying to come up with some beautiful theme or some scheme or some words on a paper or some words on our website. We're going to have to get on our knees, humble ourselves, and say, God, if we're going to work for you, we need your stuff.
ain't gonna work without faith.
They said, listen, you got
us in this. That's what they're saying. And you called us. Now you equip us. Because if you're gonna get out of us anything, you first got to put it in us. You do know nothing can come out until something has gone in.
Oh, y'all quiet.
I mean, they're honest enough.
Say, we don't got, we listen, you know what they're saying? We ain't never done nothing like this before. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to increase our faith. Because we can't, I don't want that back. It's subject to break again. You keep that.
Yes, sir.
As my grandson would say, him. They said, listen, I'm hurrying, Harmony. They said, Lord, listen. You got to perfect in us what is lacking in us so that we don't embarrass what you are.
Because if we go out and mess this up, it's not just about us, but generations after us will say that didn't work.
Moses said it. Moses said, listen, God, I realize that you are really not happy with us presently, but if you let these people die out here, they ain't going to remember me. They're not going to remember my brother. They're going to say the God who drug them out there could not deliver them. You know what Moses said? It's on you. You know what God said? I got this.
They're honest. Can I implore you to honesty? I said, listen, if you really mean to do something with us, we don't need no more fishing boats. We don't need no more friends. We don't need no money. Remember, because he told them, when you go without bag or script, no money. And they said, Lord, listen, if you really want to perfect the process that we can perform the program,
I like that,
you got to put it in us.
Come on.
So that it is unwavering and without compromise or condition, that whatever we face,
stand, having done all to stand. And stand again.
Because if anybody go down, it ain't going to be us.
You know the God who makes enemies your footstool.
That's the. So they said, listen, there's a sense of urgency to you doing what we need you to do. Because if you send us out there ill-equipped, we're going to get beat badly by the head and shoulders. And we're going to come back saying, we couldn't do it.
You're a God of victory. You're the God that would lay the pen to the Romans that we're more than conquerors. You don't win without faith. So I said, look, Lord, you put us into this school of discipleship. You're going to have to develop us. Sandra, the second thing that they showed to us is that the reality of our life is not substantive, but spiritual. Did I sound good when I said that?
It's not substantive. Listen, when you die, we're going to take everything you left
and do what we want with it. We're going to take your pastoral robes, Pastor, and throw them away because we ain't preachers. We're going to take all your books and sell them because we don't read that kind of stuff. My sons, who knows what they'll do? But the reality is your life is not substantive.
Don't get caught up in what you can touch. Get caught up in what touches you.
You missed it. You missed it.
God said, I'll put my spirit on you.
So they'll be like me. Anybody want to be like God? That's 27 of y'all.
You understand that the sustaining strength of your life is by His Spirit.
You gotta believe it. So here it is, his second piece. Second piece is you gotta understand that there's a certain devotion and a certain determination that is prerequisite of faith.
Here it is. I call it faith acquisition application. When you get it, you got to do something with it. That rhymes. I didn't know it would come out like that. When you get it, he said, listen, Malachi says, guard yourself in your spirit so you don't break your faith. It's important for us to have the acquisition. You got to have it. You can't give somebody what you don't have. Unless you're a thief. You can't, listen, you can't demonstrate faith without developing faith. That's why the church lacks, Carolyn. That's why we're in some of the mess we're in presently. Because we got folk faking the funk. We got folk acting like they with it and acting like they get it. And I'm down, pastor, and you count on me. And I'm doing all, but you know, as my grandmother said, good and well time. I don't know how them three went together. But you can't tell me that if we have it, we can't do something with it. By faith, mountains do move.
Say that. Yes.
But by faith, people grow up. By faith, we shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You walking in the people room bringing flowers and bootleg hamburgers because they tired of the hospital food, but you ain't bringing no healing. Because you coming in there to do fellowship and not demonstrate faith. You need to learn how to live by faith. Everybody can't be mad at the same time. He said, listen, you need to devote. You got to make up your mind not to break. Guard your faith. Listen, let me tell you something. Everybody in here who own a car, lock their doors. Because you try to keep your stuff. Whatever you might have in your huckabuck, you lock your doors. You lock your doors at home. You lock your lock in the gym. All that kind of stuff. You're guarding things. Why won't you guard your faith? You let people say silly stuff to you and talk you out of church and talk you out of choir and talk you off the ministry, talk you out of your assignment, talk you out of your calling. What you need to do is say, I am guarding my faith. God called me. I answered. Excuse me. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Ain't no buddy system. I'm getting all quiet because I don't like Brother Tyler. He getting on my nerve. I'm tired of going to jacked up rehearsals. I'm tired. Bah! You can't sing anyway. No. Listen, it's right here. He said, you got to guard it. I'm leaving Brookville because I'm tired of him doing this. I'm tired of them and I'm tired of that. You guard your faith. Your steps are ordered by God. I said this before, and every time I said, by the way, this is my wife and I's 30 what anniversary? 35th? Today's our anniversary. I should be doing something. Thank y'all, because I hadn't bought anything yet. Thank you. But I tell her all the time, if she don't leave, if she don't want to go with me as I go with God, have a nice day. Her mama's right there. I've said to her mama sometimes, please make sure her room stay ready. Back at the house. But I'm telling you now, I'm guarding my faith. I can't have antagonistic, agonizing, antichrist people in my life. I don't need you talking me out of relationship with God. Talk me into it. Tell me why I need churching up. Tell me why I need to go to prayer meeting. Tell me why. Encourage me. That's why you can't talk to everybody. You can't go to everybody's house. They're talking about they having a prayer meeting. You can't listen to everybody on the Word Network. Guard your faith. I just don't believe. You know what makes me? Woo! Hallelujah. You can't grow in a barren place. I've always said that before you listen to somebody, look at their word. I mean, because what do you really have to offer me counter to what God has promised me? That's good preaching right there. I'm going to say it again. What do you have to offer me counter to what God has promised me? I can die with a promise and be well fed. So he said, well, you gotta get, here we go, we're going to finish. I'm not going to finish, I'm just going to stop. Sandra, he said this, you got to understand that we need to increase our faith. We've been talking about growing this church for years. And the Holy Spirit said something. He said, you will never grow a fellowship until you grow their faith. And I sit down in my chair, poured me a drink. I said, okay. Now, see, you filled in the blank with what kind of drink I poured. I saw you. I just simply said, you keep talking about till we all get together. And God keeps saying, don't be unequally yoked with hanger owners and dwellers and checking it out and just coming by to hook up. You got to grow faith. Now notice the disciples, they didn't say, we need 9 more, we need 10 more. They were traveling them cats. And they said, listen, we need you to increase our faith. And then they go on and understand, watch this now. So Jehoshaphat stands before people. And Jehoshaphat said, listen, we're about to get into some stuff. And what I'm telling you is, if you demonstrate that you have faith in God, he will uphold us. And we will come through victorious. Yes. They are outnumbered. They are out of ration. They are running out of ammo. And Jehoshaphat had the nerve to say, if you have faith. In God. You know, he doesn't say, listen, y'all believe in me. We got this. He didn't say, let's win one for the giver. He said, listen, look here. The reality is, here it is. I'm about done. Here it is. When you realize how critical faith is, you will not hesitate another day in your life to get faith. You know, got milk commercial, big post, got milk, the mustache. Some of them may not say got faith. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for.
Yes.
In other words, Jehoshaphat's absolutely right. He said, listen, if we just believe God for the ridiculous,
come on,
we ain't did nothing wrong.
Sit.
If we run out there and tell them, come on with it, we got you. And they say, but 300 of them bucket heads up there. It's 300,000 of us. You remember Gideon's army.
Yes.
God said, listen, you got too many folk. Because if we win with a whole lot of folk, it would be as if you didn't depend on me. So let's cut the numbers. And they kept cutting and kept cutting. And then when they went out 300 plus strong, God said, now we can go. And some of y'all look around to my end up people. I want to be in a big church. I want to be. If you listen, it is far better to be around 20 holy than 20,000 hooligans. It is a response to God. To say, I believe you. We're going on. He said, okay, we got to demonstrate it. We got to make sure there's some devotion to it. And then he said this. He said, listen, please understand that the reality for us is that we are trying to win placement among the promised everlastings. We're trying to make sure that that well done, thy good and faithful servant is echoed in my ear. Because the reality is, if I don't trust God, I can't live with God. See, you, some of y'all looking at me again with that far away look in your eyes. And I'm trying to tell you something. You sitting right here talking about when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to see my mama and my grandmama, and I want to walk the streets of gold and all that kind of crazy stuff. That, you know, listen, I'm telling you something right now. I told y'all this before, and I'm going to tell you again. Ain't none of that stuff attractive to me. Because all I want to do is see him. And I'm telling you now, I don't want to see him from afar. I want to be close. I'm not worried about meeting nobody. If you read the Bible carefully, you'll realize the Bible said, listen, there will be no marriages in heaven, and I won't see my wife again. Listen, some marriages were so bad down here that you definitely don't want to see Herbert no more. Whether he went or not, Lord, I'm so glad you took him to be with you. Say amen, somebody. He says, you got to understand that it is critical for us to live by faith. So last thing. He then reminds us, he says, okay, if you don't stand firm, this is Isaiah. Isaiah says, if you don't stand firm, you're not going to stand at all. What? Isaiah says, I'm telling you that if you don't stand firm, you're not going to stand at all. You're going to blow it. And he says, it must be because, and this is the last jumping point, we'll be gone here, it's about 5-6 minutes till. He said, because the reality for us is, let me slide my little note back down one more time. He said, that because the reality is, if you don't depend on it, it ain't dependable. That simple? Yeah. Jehoshaphat says, you got to believe God. And he says, if you look around at the history of this people, you will realize we didn't get here by ourselves. If you realize, and we're getting there. He said, if you realize that what God is willing to do is also what God is waiting to do. You missed it. Come here, Isaiah. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord. In essence, what Isaiah is really saying is God has been waiting on y'all to get y'all requests together. And when you ask, it shall be given. When you seek, you shall find. When you knock, it shall be opened. God has been waiting for us. To stop asking for chandeliers and blacktop parking lots and more bricks around the building. What God is waiting for is a people who would declare, increase our faith. I want to believe you. Even when I can't see it, I'm going to keep waiting for it. He said, it has to be. I depend on God. I can't do it by myself. I didn't bring nothing in. I ain't going to carry nothing out. But while I'm here, I'm going to make my mark for God. They will know I came through Lynchburg. He said, I'm depending on him. He said, listen, and please understand, he said, when you have a little talk, please know what you want to talk about. Because so many of us, Jesus said, listen, I am not impressed by long prayers and fancy robes and earthly things. He said, but what I am concerned about is the desires of your heart. If you would be honest enough to ask me what you truly desire, if you're willing to stand firm and fight the good fight, look at the name and say, you got to stand firm. Because what he said, listen, if you can only muster up, watch this now, this is what I love. And we're going home, Meryl, I know you ain't used to being in church this long, you'll be all right, come back next time. He said, listen, if you can just muster up 6,000 pounds of faith, no. He said, if you can muster up 700 that believe, no. He said, if you can muster up 50,000, no. He said, if you can just get a grain of mustard seed and wrap your faith around that, I will bless your life. You ain't got to have a whole lot of people. You ain't got to have a whole lot of money. You ain't got to have, all you got to do is trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, if you can wrap it up like that, he said, I can bless you. And then he said, listen, and the summary of the issue is this. He said, if you can develop your faith, if you can have devotional and determined faith, if you can learn how to have a kind of faith that depends upon me, your faith will deliver. What God is saying is, it doesn't matter what you ask of me, because nothing is too hard for God. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Look at your neighbor and say, I feel it now. He said, because that's all it takes. It simply takes a matter of what you really believe. And because I am a God of everything, there is no good thing I will deny of people that believe in me. Help me, somebody. God said, listen, please understand that nothing shall be denied you. Nothing shall be delayed. Nothing shall turn a back from you, because you are my chosen people. The Bible said, listen, we are a chosen generation. We are a kind of peculiar people. But God said, listen, I just can't wait to bless you. That's why he said, listen, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. So many, so you won't have room enough. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been trying to store up this stuff, but every time I turn around, God is blessing me again. Every time I look to the left, God is blessing me again. Every time I go to my back door, God is back door blessing again. Every time I step out on my front lawn, God is front lawn blessing again. Every time I look up toward heaven, God is blessing me again. Why? Not because I'm famous, not because I haven't messed up, not because I'm fractured, but simply because I've got great faith. And when you've got great faith, your Father will reward your faith. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of the just. He's a rewarder of the faithful. If you can call on the name of the Most High God, God will. I say God will. Is there anybody here that can wave your hand and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I didn't come this far because I knew how to do it. I came this far because God did it. I didn't get where I am because I had GPS. I had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I came this far trusting my faith. I've come this far because God said, nothing is impossible. And I learned how to believe that if Cinderella can get her wish, if Dorothy can get back home, if Fred Sapper can sell junk, I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. Ain't God all right? Won't God do it? Can't God do it? He is a strong deliverer, a very present help in the time of my trouble. I didn't always know what I know now, but thanks be unto God, I've learned a little bit. And if there's one thing I've learned how to lean and depend on him. I've learned how to trust him at his word. Ain't God all right? Won't God deliver? Just ask Jesus. They stretched him wide, hung him on that cross. His final words was, Father, into your hands I'm going to give it up. I'm going back home. But don't be dismayed. Don't get frustrated, because where I am, that's where you're going to be. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, one of these days, and it may not be long, you're going to look for me, and I'll be gone. But don't worry about me. I'm going on home. And when I get there, I'm going to fall on my knees, lift up my eyes, lift up my voice, and tell him, thank you. Thank you. Through the storm, through the rain, God did it. God did it. Didn't God do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah! I've been delivered because I trusted him. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to leave. You can't fake this one. You
you got to have faith. God looked at Abel and said, you got this. Abram stood there looking kind of dumbfounded. Abram probably looked at Sarah, coach, and said, what else going to do now? We got a lot of living to do, Sarah. We don't even know where we going. But he counted it. Gave him something that is really necessary. Righteousness. Let me help you. I know it's late. It's time to go. You know, I'm going to take my time anyway. I don't know. I mean, I'm really not in a hurry, to be honest with you, because I really messed up this anniversary thing. It was just too cold to go out and buy anything. I'm just telling you right now. Maybe I go to a restaurant or something. I don't know. Can we lift the offering to help me? I mean, right now I'm thinking on my feet, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. But let me help you understand something. There's not a person in this room that's not qualified. All right, pay attention. Pay attention. You don't have to have it all figured out. I told you, it was a lot of Abram's ignorance that drove him to the interest, not the intellect. Because Abram hadn't been to Bible study. We have no history whatsoever that says Abram had been to Bible study, Sunday school, Christian Academy, Bible Academy. Here's a guy that's just walking around, and God says, look at him. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He said, look at him. We told him to leave his family and everything he was comfortable with, and he did it. We told him to go to a place that he never heard of, and he did it. We told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. We told him that he would be more blessed and more multiplied than the sands and the stars. And he believed it. He'd never seen anything. There was no video. There was no, look at this, Abram. See what God did before God. And see, that's what's wrong with some of us. God got to show us a preview of coming attractions before we say, oh, yeah, yeah, I see that now. He said, he just believed me. And God said, we're going to count him as righteous. And then we're going to bless him. And the reality for you is, here it is. I told you, pay attention. He won't do the same thing for you. Every one of you in this room, God wants to blow your... He wants to make you prosperous. He wants to make you healthy. You see, the Holy Spirit just told me that somebody said, if you didn't preach so long, you wouldn't kill the mic. Not happening. We got seven of these. We got backup. I'm going to let you go home. But listen, that's what God wants to take you and count you as righteous and bless you tremendously. God wants to take you and count you as righteous and bless you tremendously. God wants to take you, count you as righteous and bless you tremendously. All the years of your beautiful life, God wants to take you even further. That's right. Sister Wilson said, he going to take me. Sound like to me, she might get to box God up if he don't do right. Priscilla, Darren, Tamika, Marpo, Sister Constance, every one of you in this room. But you know what you're going to have to do, right? Ask God, Lord, increase our faith. If you have to grab you a new prayer partner, a new pew partner, somebody, so you can say us, Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to go after what we can't see. Help us, God, to do what has not been done. Help us, God, to fight where we've been scared. But only you. Pastor can't do it. Pastor got faith issues of his own. But if we all ask God in one bad to the bone, hammer time voice, Lord, increase our faith. In fact, if every now and then we just look out the peripherals of our eyes and say, I believe that sister needs a faith increase. Dose her up, God. You know, on the medicine, you have that prescription bottle. It says, do not share this medicine with anybody else. That's not on God's bottle. You can share. You can say, Lord, I want her to have greater faith. And kind of rub up against her. What are you rubbing up against her? Oh, I'm just praying. It's your faith. Some of y'all better stop crying and start calling for God to increase your faith. You don't have lack for no good thing ever again. If you're standing here today, you've not given your life to Christ. That's all I'm going to ask. I realize it's time for y'all to go. But if you want something today, please don't listen. Don't hinder your own progress by being ridiculous. Foolishness is foolishness. Lord, I need a bigger job so I can pay more. Listen, you have no responsibility at 30,000. Why would God push you to 40? To whom much is given, much is required. You get up around these kind of numbers and you ain't a tither now, you ain't going to tithe then. You haven't been faithful then, you ain't going to be faithful. Yeah, Lord, if you just give me this much more, I'll be that much better. No, you won't. Can I get some honest folk that'll raise their hand and admit, Lord, I done messed up at every level. At every level. But God is still God, isn't he? Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. So what you really need is more faith. So here we go. If you're in this room and you've not given your life to Christ, that's what I first want you to do. I don't want you to come up here and join Greater Brookville Church. I want you to come up here and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. Because I think now I'm on the right road of application and acquisition. I have recognized where the real fault lies. I haven't had the kind of faith I need. If you're here now, we're going to let you go. Second thing is this. You're standing where you're standing. And you don't even have to move. You don't have to acknowledge anything. But if I have preached around your neighborhood since about 12 minutes after 12, and you heard anything I said, would you just, in your own moment right now, just ask God to let that saturate your life? Lord, if there's anything I don't forget, don't let me forget the part that I said amen to. Don't let me walk out of here today and be boo-boo the fool all over again. I'm tired of living my life like this. I didn't come to church, Lord, just to be entertained. I came to be changed. I may not even know what, and I may still be wondering what I've stumbled into. But Lord, while I was there, I heard something. So God, don't let me walk out of here in a faith deficient state. Lord, increase my faith. I ain't ready to sign up on the Christian Jubilee yet, but I know I need you in my life. And I know it ain't got nothing to do with what denomination or what church I'm in or what part of the community I'm in, but I need you. I need you. I need you every hour. I need you. And Lord, it's going to take faith to accept you. So I know I'm in a dangerous place having not accepted you. But if you'll just increase my faith. You do know that when Jesus encountered people, he never asked them what church you belong to. What your daddy do. He just said, whosoever will.
And it takes some of us a minute to get this thing. So, okay. But at least leave here with a constitution that says, I heard something. And Lord, if you'll just put a hedge round about me until I can make a more informed decision about you. I ain't thinking about that preacher at Tree of Life or Greater Brookville or Family Life. I really need to first hook up with you. Then I'll go wherever you tell me to go. And I'll do the whole thing. I'll do the Bible study. I'll do the prayer. I'll do all of it. But right now, Lord, I need you to increase my faith. Because I really do struggle with the issue of who you are. And what you do. And why you do. Can you do that for yourself? Not for me. Last thing is, if you're looking for a church home, our doors are open to Christian discipleship because we really believe in discipleship life. You can read our little sign if you want to. You can talk to some of us if you want to. But we really believe in training the next generation of disciples with a real word. We don't do ice cream and cake. We go hard. And if you're looking for a church where you can bring your sons and your daughters, your husband, your wife, grow your family, and get your strength, get your game back, get your mojo, get the feeling like it again, we're right here with you. But I tell you, I come to church happy every time. I leave happy. Amen. You know why? Because I'm in the presence of a holy God and among his people. I have taken my burdens to the Lord and left them there. And the joy of the Lord remains from everlasting to everlasting. Everybody straight, everybody good. Okay, here's the last thing we want to do. Would you pray with us? You don't have to move today. Stay right where you are. Just grab somebody. If you feel led to grab somebody, if you feel led to stand with your hands in the air or put them in your pocket, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Your neighbor's not going to think it mean or unfriendly of you. If you feel like being intimate with yourself and God, that's fine.